Thank you, choir. Thank you, Shannon. The redeemed, boy, it's one of those days. The redeemed will sing forever. Jesus saves. I'm at that age. You know, 59, your voice starts changing. That's the way it's going on. It's like, thought it happened a little earlier than that. Wonderful, wonderful anthem. Thank you so much. I want to invite you to turn with me to the 43rd chapter of Isaiah. If you have a Bible with you that you've brought, the Pew Bible, or if you just want to listen, that's fine, but listen really closely to these words. This is probably one of my favorite sections of Scripture in all the Bible because it has some very specific things to say to us about who God is to us, who God is in our lives, and how God works in our lives, and how God is always there for us in our lives. So consider the significance of these words. And I'm going to read all seven verses beginning with chapter 43 of Isaiah, verses 1 through 7. I want to read all seven verses of what God is saying to Israel, His chosen people, His people. But, you know, guess what? We're His people too. I'm His child. You're His child. We're His people. So He's saying this to us also. Isaiah chapter 43, beginning with verse 1. It says, "But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you." We just sang about that in the anthem. We have been redeemed. Jesus saves. "For I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." Do you hear what God is saying? Do you hear the significance of what God is telling us in these few verses? He's saying, "I created you. I formed you. Just like I made Jacob, just like I formed Israel, I did so with you. I created you, I made you, I formed you, I've redeemed you. I even call you by name. I know you. I specifically call you by name. What's there to be afraid of? What's there possibly to be afraid of? Do not be afraid." And I think he says that because of what he says next. The storms are coming. The storms are coming. The trials will be there. But do not be afraid. I think this is a scripture that needs to be a reminder to us just about every day of our lives. The storms are coming, but don't be afraid. I'm with you. Every time I read Isaiah 43, it reminds me of a situation I had with my daughter Anna back when she was young. Anna was probably 4 or 5 years old at this time, and we were out riding around on a Saturday afternoon in the car, just the two of us. And it was a wintertime day. I don't remember the time of year it was, exactly what month it was, but it had been sort of mucky like today, you know, where they put all this salt and brine on the roads. And then if you have a black car, guess what? It looks nasty. It just flies up on the side of the car, and it's black, and it's splattered white all up. And my car was absolutely disgusting. My car was filthy. But Anna and I were riding around, and I drove by this car wash. And at the curb, it had a sign out there that said, "Ride through washes, $3. I thought, ooh, that's pretty good. $3. I can ride through. Don't have to get out of the car. Don't have to worry about the interior. Don't have to pay somebody a tip to wipe it down or anything like that. I can just ride through, get my car cleaned, and everything be good, and my car will look nice again. So I turned to Anna and said, "Anna, I think we're going to go wash the car." Now, to Anna, being 4 or 5 years old, she knew what car wash meant. What car wash meant was that we're going to go outside, and Daddy's going to get 2 buckets of soap, and Anna's going to spend most of her time spraying Daddy and not the car. I mean, that's how car washes went for Anna. So it was a fun thing to think, yeah, we're going to wash the car. So I had to explain to her, no, this is a little different car wash. This car wash, we're going to let a machine do it. I'm going to pull up, and I explained everything to her. I'm going to pull up, and I'm going to give this man $3. And I'm going to pull up onto this conveyor kind of thing, this track, and I'm going to lose control. I'm going to allow the machine to be in control. And Anna, it's going to start raining when we go in there, so don't be worried. There's going to be some rain going to fall, and then it's going to get real dark because the soap's going to come down over the windows, and it's going to make it really dark in the car, but don't be afraid. It's just going to be dark for a minute, and then you're going to hear these things flying by, like little tornadoes are going to come by and whisk by the car and scrub the car on the top and on the sides and on the back and all over the car. And then after that, it's going to rain real hard again. It's going to be a bad rain as it rinses the car, and then the wind's going to blow. And it's going to blow, and it's going to blow all the water off the car. And after we go through that storm, Anna, we're going to look nice. All the muckety muck on the side of the car is going to be gone, and we're going to be clean again. Now, Anna was rather apprehensive about this. She'd never done this before, but she agreed. She trusted me. She agreed, okay, let's do this. So I went up. I paid my $3. I pulled up into the little track thing there, you know, and I put the car in neutral just like they told me, and I let the machine take over. And the car starts moving forward, and I look at Anna, and she's kind of wondering what's going on. I said, nope, I told you, the machine has control. We have to let the machine be in control. It started raining on the car, and she was fine. About the time the soap hit the car and it got dark, total meltdown, total destructive meltdown. She started wailing, screaming, crying. "I'm so afraid, Daddy. Take control. Daddy, take control. Get us out of here. Put it back in and let us go. Get us out of this machine." "And I can't do that. If I take control, I'll destroy everything. I mean, I'll tear up the car, I'll tear up their machine, I'll tear up everything. It'll ruin everything. I can't take control. Daddy, please, I'm afraid." I said, "Anna, you know I would never let you be hurt. You know I'd never let anything harm you. What are you afraid of? I'm not going to let anything harm you, even though this seems like a really bad storm. I'm not going to let it hurt you. I'm not going to let it harm you. There's nothing to be afraid of." So we worked our way through the storm and through the car wash. And despite all the fear and the panic and the screaming and the yelling and all this stuff, the car looked pretty nice on the other side. You know, people can tell when you auto bail, right? It looked pretty good on the other side. But there's an amazing analogy between what Anna and I dealt with and her reaction to going through that car wash with me, an amazing analogy between that and the real meaning of what Isaiah chapter 43 has to say to us. That when we put our trust in God, when we truly put our trust in God and allow Him to be in control, and we have a hard time with that, don't we? Yeah, we do. We like to be in control. We want to be in control. But when we trust Him and allow Him to be in control, it doesn't mean there's not going to be storms. It doesn't mean there's not going to be bad times and trials and tribulations and things like that. But the Bible tells us we need to stop being surprised at that. And this scripture tells us, don't be surprised that the storm's coming. Don't be surprised at the trial and the struggle that happens. God's going to be there to protect us, but it's still going to happen. Remember what it said in verse 1? But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. This message is for all of us, and it's such a wonderful thing to put in your hearts and your minds and carry it with you every day. And I've really thought about this and prayed about this for many weeks. God's saying, I made you, I formed you. Just like Jacob and Israel, I made you and I formed you. And by the way, God only makes good things, right? When He formed everything, it was good, right? He only makes good things. So the message that God is trying to convey is, what are you afraid of? Because we tend to be fearful people. Human beings tend to be pretty fearful people. We tend to look for things almost sometimes to be afraid of. It's unfortunate how we're afraid sometimes in situations in our lives. And maybe it's just because we're control freaks and we want to be in control. And when we're not in control, we think there's something to be afraid of because we're not in control. I mean, we're afraid of what people think about us. Some of us are afraid of flying. Some people are afraid of public speaking. Clearly, I'm not. Some people are afraid of getting too far from home. Some people are afraid of spiders. You're afraid of a spider? Yeah. Butch, he's afraid of a spider? Yeah. You're afraid of snakes? Yeah. I'm not afraid of a snake as long as it doesn't have a head. Snakes are fine. Some people are afraid of failure. Some people are afraid of rejection, afraid of death, afraid of losing a loved one, afraid of disease or getting sick. And I don't know what causes that necessarily. Maybe it's just being human nature. Maybe it's just guilt within us somehow. Maybe it's that we're just not completely confident that God can do what God says that He will do. Maybe it's the fear of the unknown, but we fear, don't we? What's interesting, if you look at this, guess how many times the Bible says to us, do not be afraid or do not fear. Guess how many times it says that? Rhetorical question. 365 times. 365 times from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible says in some context or in some form, don't be afraid. Don't fear. Now, and sometimes it says it in certain different ways regarding to you personally, fear not. And sometimes it says it in other kinds of ways, do not be afraid. But in some context, 365 times it says to us, don't be afraid. One time for every day of the year. Don't be afraid, it says. I believe God wants us to understand, and I believe this is what God is trying to convey to in the book of Isaiah through Isaiah, and I think this is what God is trying to convey to us. Just like what it says in the book of Romans. There's nothing that can separate us from Him. What are we afraid of? What are we worried about? He made us. He formed us. He created us. He did all these things. And He even knows us by name. I was just this past week, it's so interesting this happened this week. I was walking into ARMC, into the hospital, going down the hallway. And about halfway down the hallway, I reached in my pocket and I pulled out my cell phone because I'm looking at voice messages and seeing if I got any texts or anything like that. And I'm walking down the hallway concentrating on my cell phone like dumb people do that fall over stuff, but I do it. And I'm concentrating on my cell phone, and after I pull it out of my pocket and start looking at it, I hear someone say, "Hey, you!" I just don't pay any attention. I'm just looking at my cell phone walking. Then they say, "Hey, buddy!" I don't pay any attention. And then finally, they say, "You walking with the cell phone!" And I turn around, and he's talking to me. And what happened was, when I pulled my cell phone out, something fell out of my pocket, and this poor fellow had a walking problem as it was, so he couldn't keep up with me. So he was hopping along, trying to give me back what I had dropped on the ground. But he didn't know my name. So I didn't pay a whole lot of attention. Then on the way back out of the hospital, that very same day, on the way back out of the hospital, I was walking down that same hallway, and someone yelled, "Hey, Chris!" And I turned around immediately, and it was Steve Braswell, the pastor at Graham Presbyterian, who had seen me. There's something special when people know your name. You listen when people know your name. You respond when people know your name. And when people know your name, it means they know you. It means they know who you are. It means they know something very special about you. It means you're special to them because they've taken the time to remember your name. And as a pastor, that's one of the hardest things you try to do is remember people's names. When they come, and it's sad when someone walks out and you say, "Weren't your name Judy?" "Oh, no, it was Elizabeth." "Oh, boy." And then they never show back up again. People love it when you know their name. God knows your name. He knows you personally. He knows everything about you. And He says, "I know you, I formed you, I made you, I did all these things for you. What are you possibly going to be afraid of when I know your name in that way?" And what it says in verse 2, let's remember that. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep you over. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." It's very interesting what God's saying here. This very important thing about our relationship with God. He's saying that even though I made you, even though I formed you, even though I know you, even though I even know your name, even though I know the number of hairs on your head, even though I know all this stuff, guess what? There's still going to be storms. He's promising us there's going to be struggles. There's going to be trials. There's going to be storms. Just prepare for it because it's going to happen. But when it happens, when you walk through those waters, like the Red Sea, when you go through those waters that are foaming and roaring beside you, don't worry. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be with you. When you pass through the rivers at flood stage, you remember the Jordan River, when they passed through the Jordan at flood stage, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be with you. When you go through the fires of life, and there's a lot of references to that in the Scriptures, I'm not going to let you be burned. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be with you. Don't panic. Don't try to take control. If you take control, you're going to mess everything up. Let God handle the situation. Let God walk with you through the trials and the storms. Then in the rest of these verses, God is basically saying, I love you so much. I care about you so much. You are so important to me that I'm even paying ransoms for you. I'm ransoming you, ransoming Egypt, ransoming all these other places because of you, because I love you, because that's how important you are to me. So it's so wonderful what God is saying to us here. It's so wonderful to realize that if you're going through a trial, if you're going through a storm, if you're going through a struggle in your life, well, don't feel like something's wrong. It's the way it's supposed to be. This is how life works. This is how it works with the relationship with God. This is how it works in our faith journey. God uses these storms. God uses these trials. God uses these struggles. And because of that, we go through the rains and we go through the storm and we go through the wind and we go through the banging around and all that. But we always come out better on the other side. We come out stronger. We come out more faithful. We come out more understanding of who God is in our lives. So take this. Put it in your life. Put it in your pocket. You are beautifully and amazingly made by God. And He only makes good. After Starfish Worship just yesterday, we had Starfish Worship yesterday, which was just a wonderful time together. But we had Starfish Worship yesterday, and a young man came up to me after that worship service. And he and I were discussing his situation and what had been going on in his life. And he basically said to me, "You know, I know I'm miserable, and I know I'm a failure, and I know I'm a disappointment to God." And my heart just broke. And I just stood there with him, and thank God, God helped me know what to say. And I just said, look, you've made mistakes, right? He said, yeah. I said, well, so have I. You've made some very poor life decisions at times, right? He said, yeah. I said, well, so have I. You've done some things you wish that you hadn't done in your life, right? Yeah. Well, so have I. You see, we're all the same. You're no different than I am, I told him. We're just God's children. We're just his kids. We're just his children. And he made you, and he made you good. So go and live with that kind of confidence in your life. That you're good, that God made you good, and that through the trials and storms, you're still good, and God is going to help you, and God is going to lead you through those things. He knows us intimately. He knows our names. We shouldn't be surprised when the storms come. The storms are not a sign of God's absence. The storms are a confirmation of his presence. And that's something we have to always remember. We tend to think when bad things start happening to us, God, where are you? Why aren't you here? Why aren't you stopping this from happening? Why do bad things happen to good people? I'm a good person, God. Why does this have to happen to me? The trial and the storm doesn't mean he's turned his back. As a matter of fact, in my situations that I've seen, that's where he's the closest. That's where he's with you the most. That's where he is fulfilling his promises to us. Through these storms and through these trials. Don't be afraid. Don't let yourself be afraid of what's going on in life. Just like going through the car wash with Anna, I know, and I've done it too. Sometimes we get in the midst of that storm, we start screaming and yelling and crying, God, take control. Take us out of here. Let me take back control, God, and I'll get us out of here. I'll go this direction. God just wants us to allow him to have the control and show us that through the trials and struggles, which he promises are going to happen right there in Isaiah 43, through the trials and through the struggles, God is going to always hold us, always be there. And we should live our lives with this boldness. We should be able to live our lives with this confidence. We should be able to live our lives with this joy, knowing that when the trial's coming, it's still okay. I'm still your child, and he's still with us, and he's still going with us, and he's still there, and he's still protecting us and taking care of us. Life, living life with this amazing confidence is the way we should be living as his children. Because he's the one that created us. He's the one that created you. He created me. He created us good, and he never will leave you. So we expect the storms. We expected this one. Thankfully, it didn't get too bad. There may be another one next Sunday. Expect the storms. They're going to come. They're not going to be pleasant. But don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He loves you. He created you. He's with you. Let's bow and let's have a prayer together. Father, thank you so much for the assurance that you give us over and over and over again that we have nothing to fear because you are the creator of all things, the creator of heaven and earth, and you never leave us, God. May we hold on to that assurance. When our loved one is sick and in the hospital, help us to hold on to that assurance. When one of our loved ones passes away and we try to learn to live life without that person, let us hold on to that assurance. You take these trials, these storms, and you redeem us through them. Thank you, Father, for this love that we cannot possibly understand. That neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor darkness nor demons, nothing can separate us from you. Thank you, God. Thank you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.